السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ. اشہد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ واشہد ان محمدًا عبدہ ورسولہ. اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد للہ رب العالمین الرحمن الرحیم مالک یوم الدین ایاک نعبد و ایاک نستعین اهدنا الصراط المستقیم صراط الذین انعمت علیہم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
In accordance with his promise, God the Almighty sent the true devotee of the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and thus initiated the revival of Islam. Indeed, those people were fortunate who lived in the era 1400 years after the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where fresh revelation from God the Almighty descended. They took the bet, the oath of allegiance, of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and were enabled to directly benefit from the revelation from God. The heart is stimulated into an amazing state when we perceive how the companions must have been praising and glorifying God the Almighty at the good fortune of being in direct companionship with the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Observe how true Allah the Exalted is in His promises, when He said that He will raise such people who will join the earlier ones. He alongside this bestowed fresh revelation through the true servant of the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, that is the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, on whom be peace. And in this way, he rejuvenated and strengthened the faith of those who entered the bayat, the oath of allegiance of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. They, the companions, would begin every morning in the keen anticipation and search of whether the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, had been conferred with new revelation from God. Describing the state of the companions, Hadrat Muslim Ma'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, says that the atmosphere surrounding the revelation of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, was as follows. Ahmadis, as soon as the day began, would frantically rush around here and there like mad devotees to find out whether the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, had received any revelation overnight. Adil Muslim Maud says that when I would leave the home, or when any of the other children would exit the house of the promised Messiah, people would hurriedly approach us and inquire, what is the latest revelation today? What was revealed to him? Adil Muslim Maud states that it was our condition and also our way, that as soon as the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, would go to pray, we would immediately pick up a notebook and then observe whether he received any fresh revelation. Or otherwise, when the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, went to Masjid Mubarak, we would hear directly from the blessed words of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, about his latest revelation. In short, this enthusiasm and zest was so they could further strengthen their faith and attain blessings and grace as a result. They would thank and praise Allah the Exalted that they had been enabled by him to believe in the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Further, at times, a certain companion was actually present when a revelation was received by the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and through God's blessings, they would directly hear it. Sometimes, one would be sitting right beside and would hear the revelation. Mentioning an elder in whose presence a revelation was received, Hadrat Musleh Ma'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, says, Dr. Sayyid Inayatullah Shah Sahib is from a very old Ahmadi family. His father, Sayyid Fazl Shah Sahib, was among the very closest of the companions of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. And he would routinely serve the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam. He would often travel back and forth to and from Qadian. Sayyid Fazl Shah Sahib was the brother of Sayyid Nasir Shah Sahib, overseer, who later perhaps became an SDO. Sayyid Nasir Shah Sahib was also a very sincere and devoted person. And the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, also held him very dear. Out of this sincerity, Sayyid Nasir Shah Sahib would say to his brother, Sayyid Fazl Shah Sahib, to not do any work other than to go to Qadian and remain there and regularly meet Hadrat Sahib, the promised Messiah. He said that send me some regular diaries and correspondence and regularly ask the promised Messiah for prayers. He said that he would cover all the expenses that he would require. As such, he would regularly help his brother Fazl Shah Sahib simply for the reason that his brother was in Qadian in close proximity to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Hazrat Musleh Ma'ud says that, I remember when the promised Messiah once received a revelation beginning with Ar-Raha. It was when he was also in a state of suffering from kidney pain. Sayyid Fazl Shah Sahib was massaging, pressing the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Thus, he had the exceptional blessing that while he was pressing the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, received a revelation. The revelation was in the manner which, as has often occurred, where the words would commence or emanate from the promised Messiah's mouth in a very loud voice. Hadrat Musleh Ma'ud says that, I remember we were young children and out of carelessness would slip into the room where the promised Messiah was lying down. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, had taken a sheet over himself, and Sayyid Fazl Shah Sahib was pressing the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Sayyid Fazl Shah Sahib would realize that the promised Messiah was receiving revelation, and indeed the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has written that he would get him to write it down. Fazl Shah Sahib indicated for me to leave there. Subsequently, we left the room. And later we learned that a very lengthy revelation had been received. The revelation being referred to by Hadrat Musleh Ma'ud relates to the account of the court case where Mirza Imamuddin Sahib and others extended the boundary wall and closed off the pathway. It seemed as if a verdict would be given in favour of the opposing party based on the documentation submitted to the court. Indeed, the opponents had made it known to all that the case would be over in no time. However, what happened was in exact accordance with what Allah the Almighty informed the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. At the last minute, evidence was found amongst the documentation proving that Hadhrat Mirza Ghulam Murtaza Sahib, the father of the promised Messiah, was joint owner of the land with Mirza Imamuddin Sahib. Thus, the court decided in favor of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and ordered for the wall to be removed. This revelation possesses inherent splendor and glory, and so I will read its translation, which is mentioned in Tazkira and also Haqiqatul Wahi. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says in this regard, I remember that at the time Sayyid Fazl Shah Sahib of Lahore, brother of Sayyid Nasir Shah Sahib, overseer of Baramulla Kashmir, was pressing my feet. It was afternoon when the revelation commenced in relation to the boundary wall case. I told Sayyid Fazl Shah Sahib that the revelations were concerning the case of the wall, and he should take them down as they were received. He took a pen and paper, and so it happened that every time there was a slight slumber, the revelation came sentence by sentence, and flowed from my tongue as is the way of Allah, the Sunnatullah. When one sentence was completed and was written down, I was again overtaken by a slumber, and the next sentence of the revelation flowed from my tongue till the whole of it was completed and was written down by Sayyid Fazl Shah Sahib of Lahore. I was given to understand that these revelations related to the case about the wall constructed by Imamuddin, and I understood that in the end the case would be decided in our favor. Accordingly, I announced these revelations to a large number of my followers and informed them of the meaning and the occasion of their being revealed. They were published in the newspaper Al-Hakam, and I told everyone that though the case was troublesome and appeared hopeless, God Almighty would create some means whereby we would win, for this is the gist of the revelations. The actual revelation was in Arabic, of which the translation I shall read out. The mill will revolve and the divine decree will descend. This means that the case will take on a new aspect, as happens when a mill revolves, rotating away the part that was visible and bringing into view the part that was not within sight. This is the grace of Allah which has been promised. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, has translated this himself. So he continues, it will surely come and no one can turn it away. Say, by my Lord, this is the truth. This decree will not change in the least, nor will it remain hidden. A matter will arise which will surprise you. This is a revelation from the Lord of the high heavens. Surely, my Lord does not forsake the straight path tread by his chosen servants, nor does he forget his servants who are in the need of help. So, you will have a clear victory in this case, but it will be delayed till the time fixed for it by God. You are with me, and I am with you. Say, all matters are in the hand of Allah, and then leave the opponent in his error and pride and arrogance. The All-Powerful is with you, and He knows all that is hidden. Indeed, even matters that are utmost secret and beyond the comprehension of man are known to Him. He alone is the truly worthy of worship, God. There is none else worthy of worship. Man should not rely upon anyone else, as if this other person were worshipped by him. This is an attribute that belongs exclusively to God. He is the only one who knows everything and sees everything. Allah is with those who are righteous and fear him, and when they do a good deed, they fully carry out all its fine requirements. They do not perform good deeds in a superficial and defective way. Rather, they satisfy their minutest details and do full justice to them. Such are the ones whom God helps, because they serve His favored paths, treading them and guiding others to them. We sent Ahmad, that is my humble self, to his people. But they turned away and they said, "He is a wicked liar, engaged in worldly greed," that is, profiting from such tricks. They bore witness against him to get him arrested, and they fell upon him like a fierce storm that comes down from above. But he says, "My beloved is very near to me. He is near, but is hidden from the eyes of his opponents." Thus this revelation was fulfilled in a splendid fashion, and the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has mentioned this in numerous places. And possibly he received this revelation more than once. The hidden and secret became apparent, and the verdict was passed. Allah the Exalted bestowed His grace, and whenever opponents lodge cases against the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, He rebounded their malicious desires upon them, and verdicts were passed against them instead. Mentioning the assembly of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, Hazrat Musleh Ma'ud says in one place, "The sound still resonates in our ears that we heard directly from the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. We were small, however, my endeavor was to sit in the gatherings of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and listen to him. We heard so many issues being expounded in these assemblies." Other Muslim out said that in those gatherings he heard so many topics being discussed that when one reads the books of the promised Messiah, it seems that we have heard all these things before. In the evening gatherings, the promised Messiah was accustomed to speak about what he had written during the day. This is why I have memorized all his discussions, and we understand very well those meanings, teachings of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Then, with reference to true faith, at one place he said that if a mother is given mere argumentation or proofs to serve her children, and it is said that if she fails to serve them, then the system of the house will become disrupted, and such will come to pass. Therefore, such arguments would not influence her even for a minute. A mother does not need to be given a reason to serve her children through arguments. If she serves her children, she simply does so on account of that passionate love which is at work in her heart. Similarly, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, used to say that adhering to instructions without seeking justifications and reasons so saves a man from stumbling. Otherwise, those who search for justifications and pretexts and ask after every other step why such an instruction was being given and why was such a task given to them, very often they stumble, and what remains of their faith is also destroyed. However, a person with complete faith establishes it on observation and testimony. Although he listens to the arguments of others, he does not come under the sway of their objections, because he has already observed God the Exalted with his spiritual eyes. Citing the example of Munshi Arori Khan Sahib, a companion of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, Hadhrat Musleh Ma'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, said that he recalls on account of his life. On one occasion, I have previously mentioned this and I'll share it again. Hadhrat Musleh Ma'ud says that Munshi Arora Khan Sahib used to say that he was advised by people that if he even listened once to the speech of Maulvi Sanawala Sahib, he will find out whether Mirza Sahib is true or not. He said that he once listened to Maulvi Sanawala Sahib's speech. And upon hearing so many argumentations, people started asking me whether Hazrat Mirza Sahib, that is the promised Messiah, can be considered truthful even after this. Hazrat Musleh Ahmad recalls that Munshi Arore Khan replied that he has already seen the countenance of Mirza Sahib, the promised Messiah. After seeing his countenance, even if Maulvi Sanaullah Sahib continued delivering speeches for 2 hours in front of him, his speeches will have no effect upon them. He added he cannot say that Mirza Sahib had the face of a liar. Indeed, even if he was unable to answer his allegations, he will still consider Mirza Sahib truthful. Therefore, it is not essential for a complete believer to know wisdom, because his faith is not based on rationality. Rather, it is based upon observation and testimony. This was an account of Munshi Arore Khan Sahib. With reference to this, it was important to bring to the fore and highlight that we should try to see God the Exalted with our spiritual eyes, and this can only be achieved by increasing a bond with God the Exalted. And similarly, belief in the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, will be true when we establish that Allah the Exalted has sent him in this age for the reformation of the world, and this is the need of the time. The time and era necessitates this. In this age, a reformer was supposed to appear. The promised Messiah should have come. The state of the world is evidence for the truth of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Apart from this, there is no need for any arguments, because with reference to the corrupt age, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a prophecy. So if there is a bond with Allah the Almighty, then there is also a fear of God. There is no need for an abundance of miracles, nor is there a need for arguments. There is no need to ask for miracles. The need of the time and every moment of his life, that is the life of the promised Messiah, is proof of his truthfulness. So we should always remember this and ought to continue to increase our faith with respect to this, and may God make other Muslims realize the need of the time, and may they also accept the Imam of the age. Referring to the sincerity of Hazrat Munshi Arore Khan Sahib, in one place Hazrat Musleh Maud states that in our Jamaat there are certain names. A sincere companion of the promised Messiah was called Arura. Now such names sound strange. Explaining the reasons for this, Hazrat Musleh Maud said that in those days it was a custom for some of those whose children usually died in infancy that they would drag their children in heaps of dirt and dirty places in the hope that the child would perhaps be saved in this way. A ritual or way of theirs was common, or they entertained these thoughts, and thus the child would be named Arura. This Munshi Sahib was also given this name in the same way by his parents. However, he was not Arura in the eyes of God. He was not one who lived in a dirty place. His parents gave him this name so that perhaps this child would live by placing him on a heap of dirt. But Allah the Almighty, by placing him at the feet of the promised Messiah, wanted to safeguard him not only from physical death, but also from a spiritual death. His parents sought to give him to the dirt, but God the Almighty perceived his pure heart and accepted him for himself. Therefore, God conferred him with faith, and he became a sincere companion of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. And there are very few who are like this and who are so sincere and devoted. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states that it is futile to hope for salvation without sincerity. He was so sincere that the promised Messiah also praised his sincerity and devotion. They evidenced their sincerity in such a manner that one is amazed upon seeing them. These people were the abodes of love and affection. Hazrat Musleh Maud, with reference to him, states in one place that the late Munshi Sahib perhaps worked with the magistrate or session judge. Once a month he would definitely visit Qadian, and since he was unable to take the day off, otherwise, on the day he had to visit Qadian, his office in charge would say to the other office staff that the work should be completed quickly today because Munshi Sahib needs to go to Qadian. If he is unable to go, such grievances may arise from his heart that will ruin me. And in this manner he would give them leave at the right time. Although his in charge was Hindu, but he was so influenced by virtuousness, taqwa and acceptance of prayers, that he would himself take the time out for him to go to Qadian. And he would say that if he is unable to go to Qadian, such grievance will arise from his heart that he will not be able to survive. So this is the influence which these elders, who had seen the countenance of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, directly, had even on the others, and had excelled in sincerity. They had a bond with Allah the Exalted. Hadar Musleh Maud said that just as man treats Allah the Almighty, he treats man also in the same manner. So the manner in which man melts his heart for him, the same way Allah the Exalted also deals with him. The world beats him, hurls abuse at him, tries to suppress him. However, every time after being suppressed, he bounces back like a ball. Despite all kinds of obstacles, Allah the Exalted increases such believers, and this is the true community which makes progress. And one should cultivate such type of faith. Therefore, make the condition of your hearts the same. Create such love for this movement, and then see how Allah the Exalted increases you. Those who become gods, they do not even have to plea to God. Sometimes, with a sense of pride and self-respect, the believers say they will not ask God, and God Almighty Himself fulfills their needs. Hadar Musleh Maud heard an incident from the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and relates that once there was an elder who had to confront such circumstances, whereby he was facing a severe trial. Somebody asked him why he did not pray. He replied, "If my Lord does not wish to grant me with something, then my praying for it is an insolence and disrespectful. Since it is not his will, then why should I supplicate?" This was his rank. Moreover, the elder said, "In this case, I only say, let it not be given to me. If he wants to give it to me, then my asking proceeds from impatience." Hadar Musleh Maud clarifies that this does not mean that the elder did not pray. In fact, very occasionally, complete believers are overcome by such a state. Sometimes they are overcome by a condition where they say, "Fine, we will not supplicate." The command to pray has been given by God Himself, instructing us to entreaty Him. However, occasionally the state of the believers is such that some of them, due to their bond with Allah the Exalted, do act with a sense of pride, believing that Allah the Almighty will fulfill their needs. But this rank and status is not attained just like that. Do not think that you just sit around and do not develop the love of God in your heart, do not develop meekness and humility in your prayers, that you neglect sadaqah, charity and financial contributions, that you continue indulging in lies and fraud, and even then you inherit the special grace of Allah the Almighty. This can never happen. Hadrat Musleh Maud states, "I have previously on many occasions narrated that Qazi Amir Hussain Sahib was a sincere companion of the promised Messiah. Before becoming an Ahmadi, he was a staunch Wahhabi, and in this manner he couldn't tolerate certain things regarding apparent etiquettes. Wahhabis are very strict. They cannot tolerate some things which relate to the outer form. During the time of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, when he went out, upon seeing him, his friends would stand up for him. Qazi Sahib did become an Ahmadi, but he thought to stand up for someone was not right. Rather, it was shirk, idolatry. And he would always debate with regards to this, saying that if today such things are found among us, then what of the future?" Hadrat Musleh Maud adds that he was also his teacher. When it was time for the Khilafat of Hadrat Musleh Maud, one day Hadrat Musleh Maud came out, and Qazi Sahib suddenly stood up. Upon seeing this, Hadhrat Muslim Aud stopped and asked him, "Is this not shirk according to you?" Upon this, he started laughing and said, "I do think that, but what can I do? I couldn't help myself. At this moment, I stood up without thinking." Hadhrat Muslim Aud replied, "This is the answer to all of your objections. Where one stands up with pretense, that indeed is shirk. However, when a person stands up with a sense of restlessness, that is not shirk." Similarly, the Promised Messiah also used to say that some matters are such that they become shirk by pretense and excessive formality. Therefore, one should always be mindful of this. He states that upon the demise of one of her brothers, Hadhrat Aisha spontaneously let out a cry and also struck her hand on her face. Someone asked her whether this was permissible, and she replied, "I did this uncontrollably and did not do it knowingly." Hadhrat Muslim Aud states, "I always remember the statement of Qazi Sahib that it happened spontaneously. In any case, the companions were unique and they all had great devotion and love." A connection with God the Almighty brings forth many signs. Regarding this, Hadhrat Muslim Aud states, "I once heard from the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, that it was perhaps in the time of Harun Rashid, that a holy man who belonged to the Ahlul Bayt, the family of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and whose name was Musa Raza, was arrested on the pretext that he may cause disorder. One day in the middle of the night, a soldier came to him with his order for release. He was very astonished that how his order for release had come so quickly. When he met the king, he asked him why he had ordered for his release so swiftly. The king replied that the reason for this was because while sleeping in a dream, he saw someone was waking him up. In the dream, he opened his eyes and asked who it was, and he found out that it was the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He asked the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that what the command was, and he said, "Harun Rashid, what is this that while you are sleeping peacefully, our son is in prison?" He said after hearing that he was overcome with such awe that he immediately sent the orders for his release. The holy man said that he too was in a lot of anguish in the prison, and never before did he desire so much for his release, but on that day he was very anxious for his release. After this, Hadhrat Muslim Aud again gives the example of one of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him's ardent devotees, Munshi Arori Khan Sahib, who was mentioned earlier. He says that he was among the devotees of the Promised Messiah. He was also in the habit that he would try to go and Qadian every Friday or Sunday. Therefore, as mentioned earlier, that once in the month or whenever he had a holiday, he would come here to Qadian. Also, whenever he would come, he would complete one part of the journey on foot in order to save some money, so that he could present it to the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him. At the time, his income was very low, maybe 15 to 20 rupees. But not only would he get by within this amount, but he would also save enough for his travels and offer some as a gift to the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Hadhrat Muslim Aud states, "I always saw him wearing one coat in my entire life, and I never saw him wear another coat. He would always have a cloth folded around his waist and wear a simple garment on top. He had a desire to gradually save some money, and then out of his immense love for the Promised Messiah, offer it as a gift to him. Over time, owing to his honesty, he continued to progress and was eventually promoted to a tax collector." Hadhrat Muslim Aud has then related the very famous incident of his. He says, "One day after the demise of the Promised Messiah, he came and called me outside and intensely began to cry." Hadhrat Muslim Aud says that "I could not understand what the reason for this was. Thereafter, he took out 3 to 4 gold coins and said that he wanted to give these to the Promised Messiah. However, he never had the opportunity But now that he could, the promised Messiah is no longer in the world, and he profusely began to cry. Whilst narrating this incident, Hadhrat Musleh Maud further states, "This is love. If there are any bounties of the world through which we can truly seek comfort from, then it certainly pains a mu'min, a true believer, that whilst making use of them, because if they really are bounties, then they should have been granted to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." There is an incident of Hadhrat Aisha that she became tearful when she was given a piece of bread made from fine flour, because in the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was not available, and he would eat bread made from thick flour. In relation to this, Hadhrat Musleh Maud writes about an incident of his own regarding his love for the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. After mentioning that if there were any worthy bounties, rewards, then they should have been granted to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then to his subservient, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, Hadhrat Musleh Maud, may Allah be pleased with him, says the following: "I became interested in hunting when I was young, during the time of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. I had an air gun which I used for hunting and used to bring the prey home. Since the promised Messiah used to eat little, and he had to do a lot of intellectual work, and I heard from the promised Messiah or some other physician that meat of a prey is beneficial for those who do intellectual work. For this reason, I always presented the hunted animal to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. I do not remember if I ever got the meat of a hunted animal cooked for myself. I always used to kill the prey and presented it to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him." So when a person loves his beloved completely, then either he does not find comfort in anything, or he finds comfort in something, then he says that my beloved has the right over this comfort. Hazrat Musleh Maud says that Allah the Almighty has opened upon me great types of hidden knowledge of the Holy Quran upon me with His grace. But on numerous occasions when I was able to understand something, there was a tremendous desire instilled in my heart that if I was made to understand this point at the time of the promised Messiah or Hadhrat Khalifatul Masih the First, then I would have presented it in front of them and received their contentment and satisfaction. He says that the real status is that of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. "I think about Hadhrat Khalifatul Masih the First because he taught me the Holy Quran and he used to love me a lot. It was his desire that I ponder over the Quran and extract deeper meanings from it." Hadhrat Musleh Maud says, "Not the worldly things. If there is something, then it is these things that can be a source of providing us real comfort and pleasure." These were the incidents of the devotees of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and such people who used to visit Qadian, and they always desired to stay there, as Fazl Shah Sahib and Munshi Arore Khan Sahib's incidents were mentioned. On the one hand, there were these people who wanted to see the face of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and they tried to reach Qadian. They were restless to come to Qadian. They used to offer sacrifices for the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, as well. However, there are also some unfortunate ones as well, for whom the good environment of Qadian would become problematic and difficult. Worldly pleasures would overpower them to such an extent that they would run away from that good environment. Hadhrat Musleh Maud has written an incident of such a person. Hadhrat Musleh Maud says that during the time of the promised Messiah, once a person visited Qadian and left after staying for one day. Those who had sent him to Gaudiyan thought that when he would visit Gaudiyan and stay there for a few days, listen to the promised Messiah, and witness the environment there, then Ahmadiyyat will have some effect on him. When he returned in only one day, those who had sent him inquired, "Why have you returned so soon?" He replied, "Do Tawbah, seek repentance. Is that even a place for honorable people to stay?" They thought that perhaps someone's example caused a bad impression on him, some Ahmadi maybe, and due to this he had stumbled. So they asked that, "What had happened that you returned so soon?" Hadrat Musleh Ma'ud says that in those days there were some chariot rides which were accessible between Batala and Gaudiyan. So he replied, "I arrived in Gaudiyan in the morning. I was stationed in the guest house. I was properly looked after and entertained. I said that I have come from Sindh and I did not get a chance to smoke the hookah during my journey. Now I will sit comfortably and smoke hookah and rest." There was some time before the hookah to arrive, where a man said that the Bade Molvi Sahib, the Elder Molvi Sahib, as was called Hadrat Khalifatul Masih I, is about to give a dars of the hadith. Please listen to the dars and smoke the hookah afterwards. So I said, "Okay, now that I am in Gaudiyan, let's listen to the dars of hadith." When I returned from listening to the dars of hadith, another person said that the food is ready, so please eat first. I said, "Alright, that is the right thing to do. I would smoke the hookah comfortably after having food." I had just finished food, and someone said that the Zuhr Azan has now been called. I said, "Alright, now that I am here, I might as well pray in Gaudiyan." After I had offered the Zuhr prayers, Mirza Sahib, that is the promised Messiah, sat down and a discussion commenced. I said that, "Alright, let's listen to Mirza Sahib. Let us see what he has to say, and afterwards I will smoke the hookah." The thought of smoking hookah didn't leave his mind. And he said, "After listening to the promised Messiah, when I returned and relieved myself and sat down afterwards, and ignited the hookah, and said to myself that now I am free and can smoke the hookah comfortably. However, after not even two whiffs of the hookah, someone said that the Asr Azan had been called, so please come and pray. So I left the hookah as is and went for the Asr prayer. After offering the Asr prayer, I thought that I would be free to smoke the hookah till evening. Someone said that Bade Molvi Sahib, Khalifatul Masih I, has left for Masjid Aqsa and the dars of the Holy Quran will be held there. So I thought that now I would get the chance to smoke the hookah until evening. Anyways, I said that now that I am here, let me listen to the commentary of the Holy Quran. So I went to the big mosque, attended the dars and returned afterwards, and the Maghrib Azan was called, and in this way the hookah remained kindled. Then I left for Maghrib prayers, and after the prayers were offered, Mirza Sahib, the promised Messiah, sat down, and I also sat down compelled. I said to myself that let's listen to what Mirza Sahib is saying. At last, when I returned from there, I thought that maybe now I will get an opportunity to smoke hookah, but the food arrived. And someone said that please eat food first and then smoke hookah afterwards. After dinner, when I said to myself that now I will comfortably sit down to smoke the hookah, the Isha Azan was called, and people started saying that you should pray. So I also went to the mosque for Isha prayers, and afterwards I thanked God the Almighty that now there is nothing left and I am completely free. Now I can smoke the hookah. Just when the hookah was kindled, I found out that the Bade Molvi Sahib, Hadrat Khalifatul Masih I, addressed the guests from outside of Gaudiyan after Isha prayers. So now the Elder Molvi Sahib started his address. During his address, I fell asleep due to fatigue of the journey, and I was not aware of my surroundings and my hookah. When I woke up the next morning, I packed my stuff and ran from there. I said, "There is no room for an honorable person to stay in Gaudiyan." So this was the condition of the honorable people. He was deprived of learning about faith because he was in the habit of getting intoxicated. He was deprived of seeking benefit from the company of the promised Messiah. This is a lesson in this for those who take intoxicants. Now I want to briefly speak about the current world affairs and the destruction which the world is rapidly moving towards. Members of the Jamaat of the community should pay a lot of attention towards prayers. After the barbaric attacks in Paris, the Western nations have decided to take stern action against the so-called Islamic government, which has been established in Iraq and Syria. They have planned airstrikes, or rather, these attacks have already commenced. If these governments must carry out these attacks, then they should attack those who are oppressing others. May Allah the Almighty protect the innocent and general public from these attacks. Those who are living there in Syria, etc., are being crushed as if in a grinder. They do not have an option to go either here nor there. Also, the neighboring Muslim countries are not serious about putting an end to this evil. It would have been better if the neighboring countries had united and assisted the governments there in ending this evil. This evil was left to progress and develop so much so that it has now spread worldwide. And even now it is said that some countries, which are neighboring countries, are also doing trade with this so-called Islamic government, and they are purchasing their oil and so on. Russia is blaming Turkey for this. Turkey denies this and blames Russia instead. However, there is something going on. This trade is occurring, and I have mentioned this many years ago. Russia is involved in these airstrikes along with other nations, even though there is a conflict between the Western nations. Russia is favoring the government of Syria and that of Bashar al-Assad. The rest of the world is against this. However, at this time, the targets of Daesh are common. But despite this, as I have stated, they have differences. China announces its support for Russia when the situation is serious. The Syrian government says that the airstrikes carried out by Europe are not beneficial until they do so with us. The after effects, expressions of animosity and announcements are building up continuously after the Russian plane was shot down by Turkey. Then, it has also been heard that this so-called Islamic State has planned that if they have to leave Iraq and Syria, they will set up their headquarters in Libya and establish a government there. So what will happen as a result of this? It is clear that if these people want to end this, then it is not far-fetched that similar airstrikes will commence in Libya. Then, innocent people will die. The Western nations help such governments consistently at first, and afterwards they oppose them. They have opposed the governments of Libya, of Syria, and Iraq, and so on, and they have either tried to dethrone them or they are trying to do so. And this is all because justice has not been upheld for long periods of time. There is disorder prevalent in the world. Unfortunately, the governments of Muslim countries are also acting with injustice and oppression. The condition is so dire that the state of a world war has developed. In fact, a world war has already begun on a small scale. Many analysts here have accepted and written the fact that World War III has started. I have been directing your attention towards this for the past several years, and now these people are also similarly saying this. However, even now it appears that attention will continue to not be paid towards acting with justice by neither the major powers nor the Muslim governments. Apparently, it seems as if everyone has united and are acting against the so-called Muslim state, in the hope that peace will be achieved as a result. However, certain circumstances indicate that even if this disorder is exterminated, the state of affairs will not subside. Rather, the major powers will ensue a struggle against one another, and it is not unlikely that a war will break out, because grievances between Russia and other Western nations are increasing continuously, and the ordinary people will be killed for the most part. We have witnessed this in the past wars. Ordinary and innocent people are killed. For this reason, there is a dire need for prayers. May Allah the Almighty save the world from destruction. In addition to this, I had directed the attention of the Jamaat towards precautionary measures in the past several years. So focus on that as well. I have indicated towards certain issues very briefly. Once again, I direct your attention towards prayers, that you should focus on prayers abundantly. May Allah the Almighty grant wisdom to the governments and powers that they do not take the world towards destruction.
Alhamdulillah, na'mudu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر